Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program 17 of a series of 260 sharing with you memories of Hendersonville over the past 50 years, the years WHKP has provided full-service, full-time programming. For 25 of those 50 years, my friend and mentor, Mr. Frank Fitzsimmons, shared these microphones, and from that series came the trilogy from the banks of the Ocklawaha. Today, one of the very few categories of commerce where family ownership of the business continues beyond a single generation. Back at the turn of the century, the undertaking business was only a part of furniture stores. It seemed natural that stores dealing in beautifully finished wood furnishings would also have available the same quality in burial caskets. It could be ventured, in these modern days at the turn of the century, the day of the pine boxes ended. So in 1899, M.M. Shepherd and Flave Hart organized a furniture and funeral business which operated on Main Street between 2nd and 3rd, near where the famous M.M. Shepherd General Merchandise Store also operated. On November 17, 1903, Thomas Shepherd, a brother of M.M. Shepherd, joined the firm and within a short time became the general manager. Also, sometime around 1903, if old faded advertisements can be believed, a Walter Stepp also went into the furniture and funeral business on King Street between 4th and 5th Avenue. Newcomers and young people are incredulous when you tell them that in olden days you had to be buried politically correct. The present owners and operators of Thomas Shepherd and Son, Tom Shepherd, and Jackson Funeral Home, Fred Jackson, concede that they are familiar with this old custom, but neither have any idea as to how it started, whether it was a precedent locally or extended throughout the South. But the real truth was, Democrats were buried by Shepherds, Republicans by Walter Stepp, and then later, Jacksons. For the most part, this tradition is ending with the passing of the older generation. A member of that generation was former Mayor Boyce Whitmire, who was a die-hard Democrat all his life. And on a future program, I plan to share with you some things Mayor Boyce did during his lifetime, which impacted favorably, especially the youth of this community. Now, Boyce, as you'll hear later, promoted exercise and sports all of his life. He had enough sons to field a first-class basketball team. But he had one daughter, Patricia, everybody called her Sis. Sis, who chose to marry the Republican undertaker of the community, Fred Jackson. And when Boyce died, a compromise was reached, which I think my friend Boyce would have approved of. It would be a joint service. This longtime Democrat would be buried by Shepherds, but the firm his son-in-law owned would be a co-host to the service. And this, I believe, is the only time in history that an obituary ever read, services will be conducted jointly by Thomas Shepherd and Son and Jackson Funeral Home. We had said earlier Shepherd Funeral Home started in 1899, but young Tom, who owns and operates it today, only accepts its beginning as November 17, 1903, when his grandfather came into the business. His grandfather would later buy out in 1919 Flave Hart, and in 1923 his brother M.M. Shepherd had become the sole owner. And the old man Tom, his son William Bill Shepherd, would join his father in the business in 1934 after graduating from the Citadel and the Cincinnati College of Embalming. And young Tom, today's Tom, son of Bill, would grow up in the Thomas Shepherd and Son Funeral Home, now at the corner of Church and Allen. Now Bill was the only son of Thomas Shepherd, the elder. Bill had four sisters, Nana West, Mrs. Ridley Kessler, Tommy Shepherd Fane, that's Jimmy's wife, and Martha. Bill developed even the look of a mortician, chin up, head held high, without emotion, reverent, but always reflecting deep concern. And one of the great stories of all time deals with an encounter Bill had had with the great Bert Cantrell. Bert was a big-time operator. He was not only a beer distributor and a trucker, but he also farmed huge acreages of fruits and vegetables. He was a dynamic person and volatile to the extent if one of his employees had done anything wrong, he wouldn't hold back wages or cite a personnel policy or write up a bad review or follow his personnel file. He would simply exact physical revenge in the presence of everybody on the loading docks at the warehouse. He'd just beat the fire out of him. In far later years, Bert, while we were having coffee one morning at Dan's restaurant on 7th Avenue East, was virtually in tears when he confessed that one of his farmhands had sassed him, and he deserved a good whipping. And he says, "And I'm just too old to whip him anymore." Bert had never been sick a day in his life, and when local doctors became concerned about his health and wanted some tests done down at Duke, They arranged for Bert and Nell, his wife, to take the train from Asheville to Durham. Well, a first sickness. Bert was almost frantic. The train had gotten to about Marion when Bert and Nell, Bert convinced that this might be his last train ride, Bert and Nell, sitting back in the lounge car, looked up, and who else but Bill Shepard, with that funereal pose, would open the door and come into the car. And Bert reacted in shock, seeing Bill Shepard, and he says, "My God, they've even sent my funeral director along with me to bring me back from the hospital." I talked with Nell a short while ago to confirm this story that had been told to me by Bob Freeman. Nell laughed and says, "Maybe the words are not exactly his, but that's basically true." And later in the conversation, Nell added, "I think what you said was exactly right." Fantastic memories of wonderful people this seventh child of a seventh child has had the pleasure to know in these past 50 years when he's had a job doing exactly what he wanted to do. Sorsum corda as we begin the next 50 years.